Hello everyone, myself Dr. Atul Pawar with 13 plus rich years of experience in healthcare operations and planning. Today we will be discussing about healthy hospital design including in an Indian perspective. What exactly is considered into healthy hospital designs? First, let's understand what exactly hospital planning team consists of, or what exactly hospital project is, and how exactly hospital planning project takes place. It's a complex task basically involving diverse stakeholders, patients, nursing staff, medical professional, management individual, which each of them having a distinct requirement. Bridging of the differences of professional prestige, functional need and administrative constraint is the crucial aspect in designing a hospital planning team. It involves qualified planning staff, and which is essential, ensuring an extensive participation of medical staff. The clear articulation of staff requirement in early stage can prevent the cost modification at later stage. The patient's human need must be prioritized in planning process, addressing to social habits, privacy, and sociability. Patient-centric approach is the essential part in designing and functioning of the hospital. Hospital faces challenges in communication between medical and non-medical staff. The lack of common technical knowledge can lead to confusion and ambiguity in the hospital projects. Multidisciplinary collaborations requires a shared understanding of hospital project planning. Doctors, nurses, medical administration should comprehend the language of the hospital planning for effective interaction. Functional program system is a crucial for aligning clinical and administrative requirement with architecture and engineering realities. Improved communication can enhance the effectiveness of hospital planning in preventing the misunderstanding. So how exactly this communications or the structure has been functioned out. While designing a hospital, the department has been considered as a hospital is considered as a whole. Then after considering the hospital, there is a segregation of department which is to be considered. Inside a department, a particular room or designated room size is to be considered. So while designing any hospital plan, all these things are to be considered in a linear manner. What exactly hospital architect do? So hospital architect plays a vital role in understanding the technicality and administrative needs of the hospital. The responsibilities include translating the clinical administrative requirements into architecture realities. There's a site selection, building orientation, overseeing the construction fall within the architect's purview. There are specialized architects with hospital experience for these vital hospital projects, which creates and synthesizes the functional requirements with limits to cost and architecture quality. Hospital projects go through phases from inception to evaluation, with each stage contributing to overall success of the project. What are the phases of the hospital projects? There are different phases in which hospital projects take place. First phase is inception, where project initiation and identification by the key stakeholders has been done. Then there is a feasibility study, assessing the project's viability and potential challenges. After identifying the challenges, there is an outline of the proposal, developing in preliminary stage of how exactly would be the key requirements for the hospital design. There is a scheme of design detailing on the based on outline proposed, and the detailed design defining the design with specific details and consideration what could be considered as the detailed part of the hospital or what could be the specific requirement of the hospital. Then there is an action required for construction, which is called as tendering. Then construction starts and then commissioning, with shakedown ensuring the smooth functioning of the hospital after commissioning. How the evaluation of these projects has been done? after considering all these parameters, the evaluation of the hospital starts in way. It is a final stage of the hospital project, which determines the success and the progress of the hospital. There's a constant review and adaptation which ensures the projects align with the evolving need. An itinerary approach allows the refinements based on real-world usage and the feedback given by the patients as well as the doctors. There are stakeholders' input, which is crucial for ongoing improvements for long-term success. Continuous evaluation helps in supporting the hospital in adaptive and responsive challenges and their requirements. Hospital's master plan basically is designed by the architect. The first task is to create a comprehensive master plan for the hospital site. The plan considers the future development of the building and ensures the orderly growth. The specialized hospital architect can derive approximate volume of each building from available data. The master plan or akin or town planning or smaller scale focuses on circulation routes and building depositions. So what exactly it is like external and circulation routes? Basically, when an architect designs the structure, he plans out for external and internal circulation routes. The internal routes are connected to major departments with patient safety and staff and supply movements. There are trolley movements which are specifically and requiring of the lifts and vertical and horizontal transportation in the hospital. The external circulation routes, which includes external traffic of ambulance, delivery vehicles, parking facilities and staff and visitors vehicles, is designed in such a way that it would suffice to the future requirements also. Hospital zoning plan allocates areas for major department breaks on proximity to the main entrance. Outpatient casualty services are closer to the entrance for the community accessibility. Medical service devices, departments like radiology or laboratories are strategically located, which would be easily accessible for critical care as well as for casualties. Inpatient cares like housekeeping, domestic service are planned for efficient operations. Master plan considers must align with the site nature's climate and topography. Orientation consisting of sunlight and prevailing breeze to influence the planning. Sloping slides offers the challenges and opportunity allowing for multi-level internal circulation routes. Lifts becomes the essential for sloping slides and multi-story building may be more economic. There are two types of hospital expansions. One is concentrated hospital, compact design with minimum distance within the hospital and facilities staff, and this helps in and identifying the facility staff collaboration and efficient use of the space. There's a spread out hospital which occupies more ground area with lower buildings and allows for easier provision for growth and change. To understand it better, this is a concentrated hospital where all the designated areas are placed in at one location. And there is a possibility of expansion at a different location. Whereas this is a spread out hospital, where all the designated areas are in the separate buildings. And this is the possible expansion area where additional areas could be created. Planning and growth changes. Growth and change necessitate the room for expansion in master plan. Consideration include concentrated versus diffuse structure impacting in ease of growth. Predicting likely growth areas such as outpatient cares and casualty areas is essential. Master plan should balance the advantages of concentration with the need of future adaptability. Growing and non-growing departments. Calculating the average velocity and acceleration of the building growth may vary by the category of the use of the department. Growing departments like outpatient care, casualty services, medical services requires a specialized planning. Non-growing departments like inpatient accommodation may benefit from multiple story building structures. Considering the adaptability design in growing department ensures future flexibility. Non-growing departments like while benefiting from multiple storage requires strategic placement for efficient operations. So any growing department like outpatient care or casualty would require a specific planning, but non-growing department like inpatient accommodation, they can be accommodated in multiple story building or in multiple story structures. But even in adapting the non-growing department structure story, we have to plan a strategic placement for each and every department in a particular way. This planning of each department in a particular way depends on how exactly the acceleration growth of each department is considered. This chart basically studies or gives us an input of how exactly we could think of accelerating the growth of each department, what could be the contributing factor to accelerating it, and when can we consider to use that accelerator platform to grow that department. Like if the inpatient department velocity growth rate is 8.7 and has been considered that in coming future it could be accelerated by 1.0%, then we could think of having a inpatient department feasibility as more and consider of evaluating a new structure or a new department in inpatient. Similarly, in outpatient, medical service, teaching, staffing, services and administration. Incremental expansion in various departments. Consideration for departments like children, maternity, infectious disease, psychiatric requirement require a special planning. Separate wings may be planned for these services, ensuring flexibility of future adjustment. Ongoing evaluation of the department need is essential for effective expansion planning. Flexibility in designing allows seamless adjustment to accommodate changing in healthcare demands. There is an architectural brief which encapsulates the client's need, operational policies, and facility interactions which co-develop with medical specialists and engineers. What happens exactly is, there is a general mission or philosophy of the proposed hospital, depending on it, which reflects the hospital's core value and commitment to the healthcare excellence. This sets the tone for subsequent planning phases, which aligns with the broader vision of the community well-being. Site information. Basically, it is the information where exactly the construction part of the hospital is going to take place. Where exactly, what are the boundaries of the hospitals? Where exactly the proximity of the, which proximity of the city is the hospital constructed? Whether it is near to the airport, railway station or any other department. How is the weather condition? So this all thing, environmental factor, demographic factor, influence the architecture and engineering decision making. Workload projections and function content. Expected workload, bed distribution, workflow and traffic flow. So every workflow projections, basically how exactly the hospital would be functioning is depending on how the bed distribution would be, how the workflow of the patients would be or the staffing would be, and how exactly the traffic flow inside the hospital would be. This acts as a crucial factor in anticipating the resource requirement as well as help in optimal and planning flow of the hospital. It acts as a foundation for stone for a departmental relationship. Second important part is equipments. What type of equipments are needed? What is the quantity of the equipments? How the clinical alignment with the equipments is been placed? How exactly the clinical needs are been assigned to that equipments? And what are the guideline procurement plans and budgeting for that particular equipments? Zoning of particular department or facilities inside the hospital ensures the operation efficiency through logical departmental placements and supports the wayfinding for the patients and staff. It also promotes a cohesive and integrated healthcare environment. After establishing the skeleton of the hospital, there are certain policies and procedures which has to be taken into consideration. Patient and staff movement, which has to be taken into consideration. Services policies, utility supplies, electrical supplies, HVAC, fire protections, and expansion plans are to be considered. This establishes the framework for the entire hospital operations. It also adheres to safety and regulatory standards and gives the guidelines for infrastructure planning and utility for emergency response. After assigning all the services, there has to be a schedule for accommodation of each and every details of how exactly this stations or how exactly these departments would be functioning. There has to be detailed description of functions, spaces and persons at each duty station, activities performed in each patients and function relationships. The detailed descriptions of functions and spaces would be defining the purpose of that department and scope of each hospital area, why exactly that department has to be placed in that particular area. Architects and planner basically helps in understanding and smooth and operational workflow of this particular department in a proper way in describing that department. Persons, basically specific staffing requirements. If we know how much staffing for efficient operations of that particular department is required, it would help in aligning the staffing levels with expected workflow and help in adequate coverage for the patient care. Understanding the activities performed in each space would help us to carry or identify the specific tasks carried out in that specific area. It also influences the design, the element for the task specific needs, basically why exactly that area is been designated in that particular task and what are the facilities which are required for utilizing the space. It also helps in understanding the functional relationship between how the different areas or different departments would interact with each other and adjacency for the seamless operations. Supports interdisciplinary collaborations to give a better idea or better functioning of what exactly it mentions is collaboration of a orthopedic department with physiotherapy department. So understanding orthopedic department is interdependent on physiotherapy department in a proximal way after the surgery. So having a physiotherapy department near to the orthopedic department gives the interdepartmental dependency a seamless operation, as well as it supports interdisciplinary collaborations. Phasing out the project. Consideration for the breakdown of the project into phases with approximately dividing activities, work and schedule. The breakdown the project into the phases gives us the advantage that we could be strategically dividing the project to manage its complexity, allow them to focus on the attention of the specific areas and minimize the disruption of ongoing operations. It helps in understanding the approximate activities which would ensure each phase has to clear with the set of objectives. It also facilitates in comprehensive planning and execution and sequential projection of the construction. It also helps in scheduling the specific task of each project in a phase. It establishes a particular timelines or a milestone for the project to be completed, and it helps the management to allocate resources in a given period of time. It also divides into efficient utilization of resources and mitigating the risk and challenges associated with it. It enhances the overall project control and coordination at any given point of time. After establishing or phase out manner, the important aspect of having that phase out manner helps in financial aspects too. As we know that the project would be going into the phase out manner, the estimation of construction, equipment, furniture or the total cost of project would be accumulated or probably estimated in a proper way. Estimation of the construction cost basically helps in understanding the breakdown of cost related to building infrastructure, guidelines involving budgeting and financial planning, and basic of evaluation of cost effectiveness, basically understanding the estimated cost for any medical equipments, available funds for any procurement plans, or inclusive of any technology of quality care or any other structures. It also helps in estimating a furniture, the financial cost, basically estimating of furniture cost with budgeting of furnishing and fitting cost, and understanding the comfortableness and functionality of the hospital environment. So when we understand the cost which is incurred into furnitures, we would be budgeting into how exactly it would go into furnishing or the interior aspect of it, whether it would be comfortable for the hospital and whether it would have an aesthetic look to the hospital. The total project cost also involved in understanding how exactly the funding, total project funding would be happening, and it comprises the project evaluation. The sources of funds, financial aspect basically has this important part involved where how the sources of the funds are being allocated for the particular project, and how, what are the guidelines for ensuring there is a particular grant or fundraising efforts are being sustainable throughout the project. Enlarging the planning team involved with when we say that planning team has to be enlarged, why exactly it has to be enlarged and whom should we enlarge? It has to be enlarged with keeping in mind the experts, the service heads in micro level planning, ensuring practical insights and avoiding outdated methods. There are different methods into enlarging the planning team, and co-opting these methods, we would be able to ensure the smooth efficiency of it. Co-opting experts during micro level planning, there would be different experts into different various specialties which would be having their in-depth knowledge about planning decisions and collaborative decisions with interdisciplinary approach. So these experts should be taken into consideration while doing a co-opting expert micro level planning. We should avoid tailoring to an individual clinician's preference. It should have overall importance and balancing the department with entire departmental consideration, seeking advice from multiple consultants, which reduces the outdated and unsatisfactory design and incorporates the perspectives for comprehensive planning. It also ensures that there is a modern adaptability for the healthcare facilities. The key feature for planning is basically extensive participation of the medical staff. Along with the clinicians, the pivotal role is with the medical professionals, the allied medical professionals, which ensures the alignment with the clinical workflows. This helps in enhancing the functionality and efficiency of the hospital spaces. Functional planning. Now, what exactly is the functional planning? It is detailed consideration for services, staffing, patterns, traffic flow, equipment, relationship within and between the departments. What is the determination factor for understanding this functional planning? The functional planning can be considered with quantitative terms, like in functioning, staffing patterns and traffic flow can be quantitative, ensuring the alignment of unique needs of each unit. Understanding what is the basic detailed functioning planning of each unit, we could be aligning into staffing as well as traffic flow of the particular department. Analyzing the interdepartmental relationship. Identification of dependency and interaction between the department, which guides the spatial planning for efficient workflow, enhances the collaboration and communication. Preparations of schedules for accommodations. This translates the functions into spatial allocations, ensure adequate space for each department's unique need, and guides the architect in creating a detailed floor plans. What exactly happens is there is a preparation for schedule for accommodation, basically understanding what exactly functional requirement of that particular department is and how exactly the space allocation for each department would consider and how the architect would go ahead in detailing the floor plans for each particular department. There are different framing methods and questions for this, which would be on personal equipments, progresses, and it would be clearly into planning objectives and understand the departmental requirements. After considering all these planning aspects, there is a preliminary drawing and estimates which is to be created. This preparation of systematic drawing interpretation, interpreting the brief and estimated cost are obtained before the finalization of the projects. Once all the systemic drawings and sketch plans are translated by the architect's interpretation, it facilitates in sharing and understanding what a planning team members have collaborated with the architect and made a skeleton out of it. This serves as a basis for discussion and refinement. After discussion and approval process, the stakeholders take in the review and approve the systematic drawing made by the architect and facilitate the collaboration and consciousness of the building. It helps in likelihood of major changes for post-approval. After this discussion process, basically, if the stakeholders feel any requirement are to be made to be incorporated into the design, the technical aspect of it related to financial and budgeting is taken into consideration, and also the part of structural, plumbing and ventilation are studied thoroughly with available resources. After this, architect does a cost estimation in determining how economically most of this structure framing and foundation systems could work, and thus the planning team along with the architect gives up optimal project cost estimation to the stakeholders. After giving all these things, there is an architect drawing reading or evaluation purpose, which forms as a critical aspect to evaluating how the planning of the hospital would take place. The evaluation of drawing is a progression from general concept or precise detail. It illustrates iterative natures of design process. It enhances stakeholders' understanding the project development. The importance of scale in drawing. The scale transforms in physical spaces into two-dimensional representatives. That is, understanding the drawing on paper and actual dimension in which the construction would happen. This gives an accurate interpretation of how the standard aid of simplifying the scale would take place for architectural drawing. Architecture's role in decision making is visual interpretation. It provides insights into spatial layouts and aesthetics and functionality. After doing this spatial layouts and aesthetic layouts, with collaboration with engineers for holistic project planning, the role or the decision making of the architect takes place. So understanding of the drawing elements of the architects and collaborating with the non-professional for effective decision making helps in understanding each drawing in overall design process. There are modular grids for efficiency, standard space module and compatibility. This basically is utilization of consistent space model for compatibility. Each and every hospital has a designated space given for the construction. Understanding each space model and understanding the compatibility for each space model and constructing the structure with the dimensions and fitting helps in adaptability and flexibility of the internal layouts of the hospital. This rationalizes the floor space with planning grid for the functional optimal for the space plan inside the hospital. It achieves the floor space utilization and facilitates the coordination of the space for the program to be eliminated. This is a planning grid. Adaptation of 1.6 mm planning grid for standard areas. and provides a versatile model for various functions, aligns with the industry standards of planning efficiency. So there is a 1.6 meter planning grid for standard areas. So every standard area, every communicated or pathway is being designated as 1.6 meters as a corridor. This is said to be a versatile model for all the functions across the hospital. This helps in efficiently planning or designing the structure in a particular way. Derivation of the structural grid from the planning grid. Once we plan that there, the corridor of 1.6 meters would be taken into consideration, the derivation of the structural grids comes into place, which allows the internal adaptation within the conventional working units. So basically, understanding of this entire model is each segment or each part of the hospital, it is designated into the area accommodated inside the structure. Let's say the overall treatment room present inside the hospitals would be ideal would be 14 square meter. So entire hospital structure would have 14 square meter treatment room as the standard, sister's duty room as 14 square meter as standard, or a single bed room which would be 14 square meter. So this gives a corridor of 1.6 meter for a smooth evaluation or smooth flow or passage for a patient to travel or have a movement. 1.6 meters actually allows a bed smooth functioning movement as well as the patient's movement in a proper way. Thus, we could be able to design a per bed ratio or probably distance between two beds in a proper way by calculating amount of bed require bed size or probably bed length required in a particular room.